28. So let me be the last person today to wish you good morning. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I've always wanted to say this. We're going to do today worship longs. Scott wasn't here to do the shorts, so I'll do the longs. I want everyone to raise their hand when they recognize what song I'm reading. I'm going to read several of them. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. I see a few hands. Next one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. A few more hands. We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. A few. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. There's some people here that probably know all of those, and a dozen more besides that have that same theme to them. These familiar lyrics and others, many of which pulled their words directly from Scripture, all speak of giving thanks, of being grateful. We've talked about praise and worship. Bruce and I did several messages on that, about a year ago, was it? 6 months ago to a year ago? And Mike actually had a couple of messages in there too. These are a few examples of the third option: praise, worship, and thanksgiving. It may be just as important, or perhaps even more important, being grateful. Now, when I talk about Thanksgiving, I'm not talking about going sitting down to a big turkey dinner. You know, we all do that in November, or if you're in Canada, you do it in October, is it? But I'm talking about what the Bible is talking about with Thanksgiving. The King James Version of the Bible uses the word thanksgiving 28 times. Thanks, 73 times. Thank, without the S on it, another 27. While that's not an overwhelming number, it is definitely significant. And as such, constitutes a biblical command to give thanks. As the Apostle Paul, our Rav Shaul, instructs us in Ephesians 5:4, there must be no filthiness and silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. In Philippians 4:6, he tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua toward you. And I want to repeat that first phrase, and then I want you to repeat it back to me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Like most biblical commands, giving thanks has its roots in Torah. It's not a command there per se. It is assumed directions are given on how to give thanks. Leviticus 7 introduces us to the thank offering. Starting in Leviticus 7:11. Oh, thank heaven. This is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which you shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mixed with oil. Moses instructs us how to give thanks, but it is King David that tells us to give thanks. By far, the most times that the word thanksgiving, thanks, and thank are used in Scripture is in the Chronicles and Psalms. Psalm 33, verse 2, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. And in Psalm 57, 9, David writes, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praise to you among the nations. You notice that both times, and these are just two examples, he always puts thanksgiving before the praise. With so many scriptures talking about giving thanks, you would think that the rabbis might have something to say about it. Anybody think that they might? Yeah, they do. Our home group, with at least two others, I know Scott's and I believe one other, here at Ohev, is currently going through a book by a traditional Jew named Alan Marinus called Everyday Holiness, The Jewish Spiritual Path of Musar. I don't know if we have that upstairs or not, but it's easily ordered online if you're interested. Mr. Marinus founded the Musar Institute to teach this ancient discipline to modern Jewish students. And he has gotten wide support from all of the Jewish communities, from the Orthodox down to the Reform. And even us Messianics are in on the action. Another institute called Riverton Musar was founded in Seattle, Washington by a local UMJC congregation. Musar is a devotional approach to developing certain ethical and biblical habits. There are more than two dozen of these, and early in the list is gratitude, giving thanks. It's actually number three. It is that from working on that trait that I'm speaking. Psalm 100, verse 4, King David says, we enter into Hashem's gates with thanksgiving, and we enter into his courts with praise. Again, thanksgiving comes before praise. You can find scriptures anywhere in the Bible encouraging us to be grateful and thankful. Going to the New Covenant, the writer of Hebrews links gratitude with grace. Hebrews 12:28 in the New American Standard says, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. The King James renders the same verse, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The Greek behind both phrases, show gratitude or have grace, is echo charis, literally to hold graciousness. Charis is defined by Strong's this way. Graciousness, as in gratifying, a manner or act, literal, figurative, or spiritual, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life, including gratitude, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, grace, gracious, joy, liberality, pleasure, and thanks. Quite a bit. Now, does the word charis ring any bells to anybody? I see one nod. I see a hand. Charis is the root word, it's a gift of grace when used in some places. It's the root word for our charismatic. The gifts from the Holy Spirit are charisma, which is a compound off of charis. Another compound off of charisma, and this word may sound, surprise me, it may sound familiar to you, especially if you're from a more traditional background. Eucharista is the word translated thanksgiving. It's charis with some additions on the front and the back. Gratitude, actually grateful language, is a literal translation to God as an act of worship, thankfulness, and the giving of thanks. This link between grace and thanksgiving seems to me to be a key point in our walk with the Lord. In the parables, our Lord drew comparisons between our being gracious to our brothers by walking in forgiveness with them and Hashem being gracious to us in forgiveness. If we are truly thankful to God for our brother, it is difficult to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness. We enter Hashem's gates with thanksgiving. We cannot enter into the holy place by his blood, as Hebrews instructs us to do, if we can't get past the front gate. So be thankful. Get in the gate. Come before God. What is thankfulness or gratitude? I went online and looked up the definitions and found them to be a little circular. Gratitude, the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. Gratitude, being grateful, a little circular there. And thankful, feeling or expressing gratitude, being appreciative. Kind of go around in a circle on that one. Since the English definitions are not giving us what we want, let us look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for thanksgiving used in Torah is todah, which literally means an outstretched hand. It's also translated praise. The verb to give thanks is yada yada. You hear hand in there? Hand, hand. It's a double thing, yada, yada. The double yada construction is used more than 60 times. So there's also, yada, yada has this sense of the hand reaching out or even throwing something. So if we're reaching out to the Lord, we're throwing our praise towards him. Thanksgiving, yada yada. Maybe it means to use both hands. Giving thanks is not easy to define. But I think we all understand it to some level. And for our purposes here, I will take gratitude, and this is my own definitions here, gratitude to be an attitude of the heart, a feeling that you have, of being grateful, being appreciative. And thanksgiving is something that is spoken or expressed. Take what's in your heart and you make it real. Thanksgiving gives expression to that sense of gratitude. Okay, we know that we're supposed to do this. Are there things that kill it? Yes. I have three: grumbling, pride, and self-pity. Grumbling. Now, I don't know about you, but by nature, I am not a very thankful person. God has done a work in me, yes, but left to my own devices, I'm not. I tend to grumble and gripe. You can ask my wife. She sees it sometimes. And I suspect I'm not the only one. How many times during the Exodus did the whole troop start grumbling and griping? Complaining against God. Complaining against Moses. Sometimes God was patient. Other times he, in one case, sent snakes. Another case, he opened up the ground and swallowed a bunch of people. Another sent, he sent so many quail that the people got sick of eating them and seeing them. The thing is, were those people thankful to God for the freedom that they had just gotten? They weren't. They were not walking in thankfulness. Pride. I include with this a sense of self-entitlement. I deserve this. I think I have earned that. If we take the position that we deserve better than those around us, we feel pretty good when we get that. But when we don't, oh boy, we can be anything but thankful. If we think we have achieved everything that we have by ourselves, our own self-work, it hinders our ability to be thankful. Who am I to be thankful for? I did it all myself. Be thankful to me? Mm-hmm. No, realize that what we have is from God and be thankful to Him. He gave us the ability to earn it. Self-pity. That focuses on how bad I have it. It's frequently accompanied by low self-esteem or self-worth, and I would say it's probably almost impossible to be thankful when you're that focused on the negative. If you're always looking at how bad things are, it's very hard to be thankful. So how do we cultivate thankfulness and gratitude? Paul writes this to us in Philippians 4:4 and on. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, any praise, think about these things. And the things which you have learned, received, heard, and saw in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If you keep your mind focused on these things, you will not degenerate down into those negatives that will squelch thankfulness. These will keep you on an even keel so that you can be thankful. Verse 6 of that says, when we ask God for something, it should be done with thanksgiving. If what you're asking for is relief from a bad situation, that is something to give thanks in rather than something to give thanks for. Like I read back a little bit farther, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, in everything. Keep your mind on these positive things. Reflect how much God has given to us. That sets the mind in the right place to be grateful and to express gratefulness, thankfulness. When negative stuff comes our way, and who knows negative stuff comes our way? Does me. Paul tells us in Romans 8, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Some of these negative things actually may be blessings in disguise. Only time will reveal that. Other things, realize that God may be shaping our character through these negative circumstances. So even if you cannot be thankful for what is going on, you can choose to be thankful to God for how he will use this in our life. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Repeat it with me again. In everything, give thanks. So then the question, okay, we give thanks, understood. Who are we thankful to? First and foremost, Hashem himself. Everything comes from him. Secondly, to our brothers and sisters in the redeemed community. Thirdly, everyone else out there. We can be thankful even for the guy at work that is a real pain in the backside. We can be thankful for him because we know God loves him, God has a plan for him, and God may be using him in your life to do something. So be thankful for him if you can't be thankful to him. And I'm going to finish up with an article that was written by Rabbi Russ Resnick, and this was written for the Messianic Musar Institute called Riverton Musar, and it's called A Year of Gratitude. Rabbi Russ Resnick writing, I base my practice of Musar on the Shema for the next cycle or two. I'm inspired to do this just from learning the Shema more deeply in the past few months, and also by some recent reading, including The Year of Living Like Jesus by Ed Dobson. Dobson is a prominent evangelical pastor who reads The Year from Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs, a secular Jew, and was so impressed that, quote, someone had taken the Bible seriously enough to attempt to live it out, unquote, that he asks, as a Gentile and a follower of Jesus, what if I were to take the teachings of Jesus seriously? What if I were to live like Jesus lived? What if I tried to do some of the things Jesus did? Maybe just for a year. It is a good read and surprisingly inspiring, especially as Dobson touches on his battle with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a grim, degenerative, incurable affliction. Toward the end of the book, Dobson evaluates his experiment. One of the many things about this year has been that when I get up every morning, I focus on reading the Gospels and trying to live like Jesus instead of focusing on my latest muscle that doesn't work. Focusing on Jesus and his teachings keeps me from unduly focusing on my own disease and deterioration. Now, when I get up every morning, I don't worry about my health, which is excellent, thank God, but my mind does tend to rev up with all kinds of worries and kvetches until I remember the commandment that I'm working on these days. V'ahavta, you shall love Hashem your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. When I'm wholehearted in my love for God, it doesn't leave much room for worrying or kvetching. I realize that these are just different forms of ingratitude, lamenting what I've lost or never had or might not have much longer, instead of being thankful for what I do have. Wholehearted love for God leaves little room for ingratitude. Paradoxically, though, it still makes plenty of room for gratitude. In learning to know God, love and gratitude go hand in hand. Some of my colleagues this week have reminded me it's just as important to express gratitude to other people as to God. That brings up the second commandment, the second V'ahavta, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If that love is real, we have to express it to those around us, which can be a simple matter of being sure to thank someone who may not be expecting it. When you work on loving God with your whole heart, soul, strength, you cultivate a personal climate of thankfulness that will come out not just towards God, but toward the humans in your neighborhood as well. Lord, thank you. I think we all can say thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for being here with us. I thank you for this message, and I pray that you would instill an attitude in everyone of being grateful to you, grateful to our brother, and that we would find ways of expressing that in thankfulness. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.